You hear all that noise going back through there? Isn't that awesome? The noisier, the better. That means there's kids here, right? Amen. And I love the sound of kids going to Sunday school. So I'll take it. And God, please bless our teachers in Jesus' name. We have an amazing Sunday school staff and youth staff, and I so appreciate all that they do. And when you work with kids, it takes patience and it takes a heart. And it takes an anointing to do it, to truly really have a heart for kids and to minister to them and their levels. And so I'm so thankful and grateful for all of those who do that. And aren't able to set in the service with us. They're down there ministering to your kids, and so they rotate that around. And so I appreciate all of them, our staff, and appreciate our board of elders and those who are behind the scenes who make things happen here. I want to say thank you to everyone for pastor appreciation gifts and the love and the honor that you showed to Dan and I. And we truly love this body of people. We love you guys. And we love doing life with you. We love doing church with you. And so we're so blessed and honored to be able to serve you. And I want to say thank you to everyone who came out for our movie night, Friday night, and those who set up and provided snacks and things. We had a great turnout and had a fun evening out in the parking lot watching a movie, and the kids running around everywhere. So it was just a good time to be together. Thankful Lord that he blessed us with warm weather for the weekend and no rain, so that was awesome as well. And so I'm thankful for that. You know, a lot of different directions I could have went today. We're getting ready to go. We are in the month of November. 2020 is almost behind us. It doesn't seem like we've, it seems like, I want to say it's November already in one sense. And so I'm thankful for that. And, it's a season of thanksgiving. It's a season of giving thanks and honor to God. It's also, we celebrate this week Veterans Day, and we honor our veterans in this house, the men and women in this house who have fought for our country and continue to do so and serve our country. And what a beautiful nation it is. Amen. We just went through the elections and things, and the right and the honor to vote and to be an American and to be proud to be in the USA. And so I'm thankful for so many things today. And again, like I said, I want to honor our veterans and our everyday heroes. And I want to talk a little bit today about being an everyday hero. The things that we do sometimes to serve family or to serve people, we don't feel like, we don't think that's our church or what we've we always look, everybody's looking for a calling. What's my calling in life? What am I called to do? But sometimes the greatest calling is just to serve where you are. Just to serve the need that's around you, just to serve the people that God has connected you with and to be, in connection to that. And but before I start this morning, because it is the week of November, it's the month of November, is there anyone who has a testimony this morning, anything that you want to give thanks for? I'll give you a minute to think about it. We don't even need a minute. There we go.
Heading down that path and had relinquished to it. I was going back to the surgeon, and when I went back the second time, I told him, he was like, what are you doing? I thought we were going to wait another month or two and see how this was going. And I said, well, I don't know, I just thought you suggested it, so maybe we should just go ahead and do it, because what if insurance and this and that happens? And he said, well, how are you feeling? Are you that much worse? And I said, no, actually, my symptoms are gone. I've got feeling back in my hands. They're not swelling anymore. I don't have pins and needles and these lightning strikes happening. Everything's good. He said, then I think the nerve is healing itself. He said, it's rare, but it does happen with the kind of herniation that you have. Let's let it go. I don't think we should do surgery. So I gave that to God. And I believe if you looked at the MRI, because he even said, that is severe. He said, I don't know how you went this long and didn't have a shot in the neck. I had one. And he said, I had to have at least a shot in the neck for pain, and I could give you that. And I'm like, well, no, because I don't really have pain. It's just these other symptoms. So then this other time, whenever I went back, and he said, well, I just think we should just put it off. I think you've got healing coming there. And it happens sometimes that these things will heal on their own. It's rare, but so okay. I just had to be thankful, give it to God, and be like, okay, well, then I guess that's not necessary. And, you know, I just feel like God really has given me a healing over that.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else have a testimony?
Well, for the power of prayer. God's in control, that he's above cancer, and he's above nachardia, and he's above neck pain and herniated disc and all those things. And I just thank God for the power of prayer, and that he hears us when we pray, and that he heals us, and that we can walk in the abundance of life. I'm thankful today for where I'm at. This year hadn't been no big deal for me. Last year was the one that I don't want to repeat, so I'm okay with where we're at. I'm praising God for every day that I have and for looking forward to the future.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Anybody else want to give a testimony this morning?
Changed everything, you know, in all of our lives. And so I'm just thankful for protection, God's protection on our
thankful for God's protection. Amen. Anybody else?
I think knowing where I am in my life with God, every day is Thanksgiving Day. And every day I thank him for wisdom and knowledge, my church, my family, my friends, and just where he's placed me. I mean, 2020, it just seems like yesterday, it was in March, and we were talking about this whole crazy thing, and we made it, and by the grace of God, once again, he's blessed us, and once again, every day is Thanksgiving, and I just thank him every morning, every evening when I pray to him that he's just placed me where I am.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else?
For the restorative power of prayer. Seen it in our family, seen it through this year. You know, each year has its challenges and each year has its struggles. And even though sometimes we can't see the end, we know that he's restoring. And just that peace that he brings sometimes that you don't even know where it comes from, right? We don't know that where that comes. You know, that peace is just so overwhelming sometimes, and I thank him for that because it's it's been a struggle, but he's big enough.
He's big enough. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. Because I believe that life preaches. It's not just about what I say up here. It's about what we live and what's working. Amen. And I believe that our testimony are faith builders. That, you know, when we hear the testimonies of the saints and we hear the praise reports and we hear that others have had struggles or hardships, and yet the faithfulness of God and the peace of God and the protection of God and the hand of God that is in our life, those are powerful reminders. They're powerful reminders of who we are, where we are, and who we serve. How many believe we serve a great big God?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He's very much lion and very much lamb. As I said in the beginning, you know, he is the Lamb of God. You know, the lamb that went without, you know, resistance, and the lamb to the slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. But he's also the lion of the tribe of Judah. And don't ever forget that the Lion of the tribe of Judah will prevail, and it's through the blood of the Lamb and through the power of the cross. And so I'm thankful that I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Amen. I want to begin with a scripture, and maybe we'll get some more testimonies through the month of November, and an opportunity to give thanks. And John 15, 12 through 13. It says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." Or to lay down your life for a friend. When I say that to you, what does that mean to you when I say lay down your life for a friend? Okay. Putting your feelings aside or your needs aside for someone else. Okay. Humbling yourself. Okay, soldiers who lay down their life. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. To lay down your life, absolutely. To put your life on hold sometimes for the needs of others. Amen. So to lay down your life doesn't necessarily always mean physically to lose your life. And sometimes it does. As Erin said, she said of soldiers. And we honor our soldiers in these days and think about those who put their life on the line every day for us. And obviously that's a sacrifice. But there are lots of ways also that we can lay down our life for a friend. And those are when you give up your agenda because somebody else is in need or in crisis and has called, or you see the need and you minister to those who minister to the sick every day, those who minister to people in need. And again, I want to talk about everyday heroes today and talking about that we're anointed for these things and just in some different ways. And so that was out of John 15, 12 through 13. And 4:7-8 says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul is talking here about fighting the good fight of faith. I mean, Paul's not talking about being in the Army or the Navy or the Marines or fighting in that fight. But how many know he fought a fight of the faith? If you know the story of Paul, you know that he was raised and taught at the feet of Gamaliel and had persecuted the church and had persecuted the followers of Jesus, the Christians of that day, and yet had an encounter with Jesus. And just as vehemently as he had fought against the church, he fought for the church. I mean, no, he fought for the message of the finished work of the cross that we know and love today, because somebody fought the fight to teach the message of faith. I mean, know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, that we are saved through grace and through faith, not through bloodline, not through our own works, lest any man should boast, but we are saved through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, "I fought the good fight for that. I was in the trenches. I was on the front lines." I mean, he fought against a lot of religious mindsets. He fought against a lot of traditions and things like that. But he said that I profess to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. And so knowing the power of the cross, and he said all of the other teaching, all of my background, all of my credentials mean nothing except that I know Christ and know him crucified. How many know the power? It's not enough just to know about Jesus. We need to know Jesus. We need to know who he is in our life. The acknowledgement of the power of God working within you. How many believe that it's not just knowing God, but it's the power of God inside of you working from the inside out, not from the outside in. that he speaks through our mind, he speaks through our heart, he speaks through his anointing and through his word and through worship. Hallelujah. I so appreciate the worship this morning and the anointing on the worship. I mean, because it refreshed my soul. I felt refreshing. I felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and that's something that you can't buy. You don't market it. It's not for sale. It's something you receive, the power and the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. And so I thought about the defenders and the protectors. You know, our soldiers are defenders and protectors, and sometimes the greatest heroes don't wear capes. Amen. I got some grandsons, and they love superheroes. They love Spider-Man, and they love Batman, and they love all those things. But how many know superheroes aren't the ones in the capes? Superheroes are the people that are on the trenches that give sacrifices daily for care and for time, their time and their efforts to help people, to heal people. You know, freedom is not free. We say that all the time. We live in a free country and our freedoms, but freedom is not paid. It's bought with a price. I mean, no, our freedom in Christ did not come cheap. But our freedom came through the power of the cross. The one who has set us free. How many of you have been set free in here today? Set free from bondage, set free from sin, set free from sickness, set free from mindset, set free from religion, set free from whatever it is that we've been set free from. Obviously, whoever it is don't know me very well. Yeah. Jesus calling, hang on a minute. Yeah. He wants me to know my car warranty is due, right? Amen. It's the school calling, yeah. Hallelujah. But life's battles are won in the trenches. And, you know, the battles that, you know, that we're talking about, the battles that we fight are not the ones we fight physically. And I would dare say that the hardest battles that we fight are not the ones we fight physically, but the ones we fight mentally or spiritually. Amen. The scripture says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. They may not be visible, but they are mighty. And, you know, as I think about, you know, in even in this season, there seems to be a season of weariness and a lot of times despair and things like that. But as I said, life's battles are won in the trenches. And I think about even in this last while that some of our greatest heroes have been nurses, have been first responders, have been our soldiers, have been grandmas, have been the babysitters, have been the teachers and the nurses and the doctors. It's students who are working from home. It's first responders. It's essential workers. I mean, no, those are our everyday heroes. And, you know, to get up and to do the things that we do effectively, if we can do all that we do as unto the Lord. And I learned very early on in ministry and even in serving the Lord that if I have the mindset that I do everything that I do as unto the Lord, then one, I'm not looking for earthly gratitude or earthly pat on the back. I'm not looking for the praise of people, but I do all that I do to honor God. And when I do that, how many know his rewards are eternal? His rewards are mighty. I look back over life many times in general, and I just have to say, thank you, Lord. How many of you can look back over your life and say, thank you, Lord, that you have brought us to where we are? And I think, you know, early days in marriage or early days growing up and things like that, and many of the things that I thought about in life and things that I desired and things like that that I thought were so far out of reach and so far away, but by the grace of God that has given us the ability and the right and the blessings. How many of you in here today can say I'm blessed? I am blessed and highly favored. I'm blessed beyond measure. You got up today. You got to choose where you wanted to go today. Hallelujah. If you have good health to be here, you need to thank God for it. If you had food on your table, shoes on your feet, you know, we used to sing that, but, you know, I'm not one to take lightly the blessings and the provision of the Lord. And many times we want to grumble about things around us and things that's happened and things even that have limited us in the last year. But I got to tell you, God is right smack dab in the middle of every step we have taken. And there are so many things that have come out of it positive and so many protections and so many provisions that I got to stop right smack dab in the middle of and say, thank you, Lord, that we are blessed, that we are highly favored, we are anointed and appointed, we are children of the King, we are the head and not the tail, we are salt and we are light. And those are some things that I profess and I declare over my life and over my body, over my ministry, over those things. How many know sometimes you just got to speak it out? Sometimes you got to speak it out and you got to hear it and you got to connect with somebody who's speaking the same things. But I want to go to Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 this morning. And I'm doing these out of the NIV this morning. But it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul was speaking here and said, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How many know Paul was speaking strength to the people? He's speaking strength and hope and confidence into the people that he is writing the letter to. But he says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the devil's schemes or wicked schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of the dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. King James says that... Again, as we fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. How many know the biggest battleground we have is in our mind? Yeah. And we've said that before. We've secured that our biggest battleground is in our mind. How many know? And fear is one of the greatest enemies. Yeah. Yeah. We say a resounding amen. How many know fear is one of the greatest enemies that we fight? How many know hopelessness is an enemy that we fight? So many I see around me in the area in the last little while, hopelessness, a sense of hopelessness, fear, discouragement, despair, anxiety, depression. How many know those are things sometimes that people fight on a daily basis? What do we fight those with? We fight them with the shield of faith. We fight the fight of faith. Amen? How many know faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen? And this scripture talks about putting on the full armor of God. We know that's not something physically that we put on. But how many know you have to have, talks about the helmet. And how many know the helmet covers what part of your body? Your head, your mind, right? And so you put on the full armor of God. Stand firm in all of those things. We have the helmet of salvation. How many know the one of the greatest things that you need to protect is your mind? And we talked about this a little bit when we're doing the series on the gates. A gate is whatever lets something into your life or out of your life. Into your mind or out of your mind. Into your heart or out of your heart. How many know you got to guard the gates. You got to guard what comes in. It's not very long that you hang out at a crowd of people that's discouraged until all of a sudden you start to feel discouraged, right? You know the song, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. How many remember Hee Haw? All right, fess up. Some of these younger ones probably don't know that song. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. It doesn't take very long to be around an arena of discouragement until it starts to creep into who you are or how you think, right? And so we protect our mind with the helmet of salvation, the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why the psalmist said, he anoints my head with oil and my cup runs over. How many know the anointing that we are anointed with in our head or our mind or our thinking is the greatest weapon we have, because everything that has to filter through my mind must then filter through the anointing that I am anointed with my shepherd. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. I love the power of worship to change your mindset. I love the power of worship to change your heart. I love the power of worship to change atmospheres. Do you know that when David went to fight the Goliath, that he was already clothed in his own armor? Saul said, David, if you're going to fight this giant, you're going to have to come in and try on my helmet and take my shield and take my sword and take all of my weapons. And David came in and tried to do it, but he walked around in a, you know, the scripture said that Saul was headed above everyone else, and David was a ruddy young man, just a small young man. How many know the armor of Saul was never fitted to be David's protection? And you can try to make people into who you want them to be all you want, but when you learn to walk in your own anointing and when you learn to walk into your own giftings, David walked up to the giant already covered in his own armor, because he said, you come to me and with swords and spears, but I come to you in the name of the Most High God, and I will, I'll feed your carcass to the birds. How many know he came with faith in his heart and a confidence and an anointing of who God had called him to be? Amen? It wasn't about what was on the outside of David that was powerful. It was what was on the inside of David that gave him the fight. How many know every now and then you got to have a little fight in you? Every now and then you got to have a little fight in you where you just rise up and say, enough is enough, and I stand against the powers of the enemy, or I stand against sickness, I stand against whatever it is that wants to come against my mind, and say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And so we know that our protection and our power and our anointing comes from the inside. Not so much from the outside, but from the inside, the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that causes us to be what God has called us to be. How many know people everywhere are looking for examples? They're looking for someone who's got some answers. They're looking for people who has confidence. There's people who, they're looking for people who believe, who practice what they preach. Amen. It's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to stand firm on it and believe it and to operate in it. We talked about life in the trenches. A trench is the place and space where leverage is gained or lost, where advance towards victory can be achieved. Entrenched is to be dug in, not giving up, fighting together. To be involved in the difficult, hard, dangerous things. How many know sometimes there are some things that are difficult? We walk through some difficult seasons and we walk through some hard times. How many know it's the boots on the ground, the hand-to-hand combat that we do? Sometimes that hand-to-hand combat is just holding somebody's hand. Amen? It's being there. It's being available. It's being you're being a listening ear, being the person that can get you where you need to be. How many know sometimes there are some times that you don't have the strength to do what you need to do? that you need, and I say all the time, it's why the community of faith is so important, because, I mean, no, here are the testimonies of other people are faith builders. Watching other people worship are faith builders. Feeling the anointing of worship is a faith builder. The power of corporate prayer together is a faith builder. How many know those are weapons that we use to fight against discouragement and the things that we face on a daily basis? You know, I don't believe, we used to always sing the songs, "A Weary Pilgrim Passing Through." I don't believe that we need to spend this life as a weary pilgrim passing through. I believe we need to spend this life as overcomers. Fighters, overcomers, victorious, powerful, anointed, purposeful lives. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm not just here for the duration. I'm here to take over. I mean, God, I believe that God places us strategically in places and gives us influence over areas in our life that He has placed us there to be instrumental in the victory of those things. What do I mean by that? How many know sometimes, you know, as we were saying before, sometimes the power of a neighbor who is available that can go in and run errands for you or bring you food or someone who brings in a meal when you're sick or somebody that cuts a load of wood for you or somebody who calls you on the phone, somebody who ministers through a card or whatever. How many know those are powerful connections? Those things are important even in our healing processes. When you know somebody's thinking about you, somebody's praying about you, somebody cares about you. And I was thinking about the scripture, and I've used this a lot, I know. But the scripture where Jesus is in the house and the young man is sick and he can't get to Jesus for the crowd. But he has four friends that he knows if we can just get him to Jesus, I know he can be made whole. I know he can be healed if we can just get him there. How many know that man did not have the ability to get himself there? But he had four friends anointed enough to say, "Get on the stretcher and I'll get you there." How many know sometimes you need people in your life that's willing to say, "Get on the stretcher and I'll carry you till I can get you where you need to go, because maybe tomorrow you'll need to carry me." Amen. How many know you need some, and they get there to Jesus and they find out that they can't get in for the crowd. They can't get into the press. They can't seem to press in to Jesus. And when they get there, they can't get in. So they're not limited by the doorway or the obstacle in their way. And they go up on the roof and they rip off the roof and they lower Jesus and they lower the man down to Jesus through the roof. Hallelujah. How many know there are, that's what you call being in the trenches. That's what you call somebody who's fighting on your behalf. That's what you call, you don't need a lot of friends, you just need four. You just need somebody that's willing to say, "I'm not giving up until we make connection with Jesus." Because I'm going to tell you, if ever the answer in this day, if we ever need an answer, the answer is Jesus. And when we learn the power of prayer and learn that we are anointed and appointed for such a time and such a season as this, then we take it upon ourselves and say, "I'm not giving up. I'm not backing up. I'm not slowing down. I'm not backing off. I'm going to press in." Because now's no time to back up. Now's no time to back off. Now's the time to press in. Hallelujah. And accomplish what God has purposed in our life. Hallelujah. And so I was thinking about the scripture and just thinking about the power of the anointing, that we're anointed to heal, that we're anointed to minister, to share the gospel, to bring hope and faith. But I want to go to Luke chapter 10 this morning. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What's written in the law?" he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. We went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave him to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. He said, which one of them do you think was a neighbor to him? He said, the one who had mercy on him. I love the story of the Samaritan because it gives us a couple pictures, and it said the priest and the Levite went by on the other side, and there was a reason for that. Because when they saw the man who was bleeding and dying on the road, if that man were dead, for one thing, and they touched that dead man, they would be guilty of breaking the law, and they would have to do cleansings and purifications and all of those kind of things for doing it. That's not the only reason they passed him by, but because he was a Samaritan, and Samaritans had no dealings with the Jews. And the scripture said that he was laying there, and he had been beaten and robbed, that robbers had robbed him of his life. They had robbed him of his ability to operate. How many know there's a lot of things in life that'll rob you? That'll leave you bleeding and dying, that will rob you of your peace, rob you of your hope, rob you of your life. You know, there's a whole lot of things that, you know, we can make choices in life. And Dan and I were talking about this a little bit this morning. But how many know the choices you make in your life have impact on where you go and where you end up? And the choices in your life can either bring you fruitfulness or they can rob you sometimes of having a quality of life that you desire. But Jesus comes along. He sees the man in need. He sees the man hurting and on the Jericho road. And the scripture says, and he pours in oil and wine. Do you know today that you are a vessel of oil and wine? And I pray today that as our hearts are stirred, that the anointing and the presence that we feel, the power, and realize that we are a vessel and a container, an alabaster box, a treasure hidden within us of oil and wine. And do you know that oil and wine will bring healing to the body? It'll bring healing to the mind, and it'll bring healing to the soul. That God has anointed us and given us the ability to pour in oil into wine to those who are hurting, who are dying, who are suffering, and that are without hope today. I don't know about you, but I think it's a time to stir up hope. Get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. Stir up hope. Stir up peace. Stir up the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the next time you come in contact with someone who is in need, who is hurting, who is suffering, that you have an oil and wine that you begin to pour in. How does that come? It comes with words of confirmation. It comes with words of healing. It comes with words of affirmation and words that can bring life, that can dispense fear, and can cause our focus to be what? Not on issues around us, not on everything else that's happened, but our focus becomes on God and what God is doing in the midst of this. How many believe God is alive and well? Amen. Right here and right now on planet Earth. We're still on plan A. God is in control. God is a great big God. He's sovereign. He is the Almighty, and he's the Lion and the Lamb. Stand with me this morning. I encourage you this morning, as I started out by saying, everyday heroes. And you may find yourself stuck in places where you feel like, I can't get to what I want to do because of everything else or anybody else or whatever. But how many know the things that we do that minister, when you're ministering as a grandma, as a mom, a dad, a teacher, a nurse, and the things that you're doing, you might not call that an anointing. You might not call that a calling. But how many know God has anointed you for that? One of the most profound things my mom ever said was that in talking about her ministry and measuring her ministry and things like that, she was in a place one time of discouragement, and she said, you know, God spoke to her and said, how long did Noah preach? She said, 40 years. And how many people got on the boat? She said, well, just his family. She said, then he did what I called him to do. You may feel like what you've done has been in vain. But if the hearts that you minister to, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a child, a grandchild, a sick patient, somebody that you're working for, whatever it is, because here's what I know and here's what I believe. It only takes one. It only takes one to change the world. Somebody to turn that life around and say, you are worth it. You are worthy. You are called. You can do this. That challenges a heart, that leads them in the right direction. The story, if you all know the story of Teddy Stoddard, it's a little boy that went through school, and it only took one teacher to encourage him to say, he's got potential. He started out failing and being behind because his family was a wreck and everything was a wreck in his life. And it only took a teacher to turn around and encourage his heart and to tell him, Teddy, you got potential. And he went on to be a brain surgeon because somebody took a moment. See, you don't have to change them all. If you just change one, you change one life. Maybe God wants to use you this week to minister to a spouse. Maybe he wants to use you to minister to a child, to a friend, to someone who's sick or hurting. See, you don't have to change the whole world, but if everybody changes one person, everybody ministers in some way, hallelujah. Do you know that it's contagious, that hope is contagious? So never think that what you're doing is worthless and it's taking your life because you're pouring your life into somebody else. And I believe that God rewards that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. As Beth sings this morning, let's just give him praise and say, God, use us this week. As a